time to talk a little Patriots. To do that, we welcome in Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello there, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How is the Zach Wilson era going? What's your take on that? It seems to be off to a rocky start from what I can see.
I mean, he completed his first five passes. They were all caught. There was no incompletion, so I'm not sure what the issue would be. Not great. And it's one of those things. It always struck me as funny that for, I don't know, weeks, months before the draft, it was like the Jets are high on Wilson. They love him. This, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I don't know. There's some real Mitch Trubisky possibilities with that number two draft pick, which, I mean, you'd hate to see it for the Jets and the organization, but it does seem like a distinct possibility.
Just looking at him on the sidelines after the fourth interception, it was just, this is the most Jets thing ever.
You know, what is legitimately concerning is every time he got there, they like built a tent around him so he didn't have to deal with the sunlight. You know, that brutal New Jersey sun in late September was too much for him. So that's not a great sign either. So a lot of red flags being thrown around at Zach Wilson yesterday.
In the meantime, this other guy picked much lower in the draft. What's it, Mac Jones, that his name? He pretty solid again, 22 of 30, 186 yards, mistake-free football.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to get a lot of, you know, doubters, criticism and all that for what he didn't do, but in a game like that, I don't think you should be, you know, taking unnecessary risks and, you know, exposing some of the playbook, something like, let's say they really want to let Mac Jones air it out someday. I wouldn't waste those plays against the Jets in a game where the opposing quarterback is just giving it to you. So I think Mac Jones did his job. He did what was asked of him yesterday, and that's all we can really evaluate him on, not on what he was not asked to do.
It was a nice bounce back, too. First of all, glad to see Damian Harris get those carries earlier in the game. There was a small piece of me that wondered, oh no, is he in the Belichick doghouse? But clearly not.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford to put him in the doghouse. And I do think it was a pretty easy one to diagnose last week because, you know, before the fumble, a couple plays before the fumble, he ran out of bounds on the left sideline and was gassed and called for a sub. They put Brandon Bolden in for a play or two, and then he went back out, and then he fumbled. So fatigue was clearly the issue there, so I'm sure they were a little bit more cautious of managing that. But, yeah, between him and James White, you saw a pretty good backfield. I think James White, that first touchdown drive, it was kind of all James White. He had a 28-yard screen. He had a couple of runs, the second of which being the touchdown run. So, yeah, if there were a shining point in the offense, it was definitely in the backfield.
And you had a terrific piece on James White, showing what he can do back to being James White. And as you said, it was tough to be critical of his performance last year.
Right. I mean, it was sort of, there was two separate worlds clashing, and one was very real and one was football, especially with it being a COVID year and a pandemic, and everything was kind of lousy for James White to go through what he went through last year. I just looked at his football production as irrelevant and, you know, sort of beside the point when it came to anything. And so, I mean, it did, unfortunately for him, it hurt him in free agency. I think only the Buccaneers were probably the only team that were interested, and that was probably only Tom Brady's urging. So I think, you know, it in the short term, the Patriots will probably benefit from the fact that White at 29 is once again on a one-year deal, highly motivated to have a big year while also being a team player, while also not, you know, demanding the ball. And also, as Mac Jones said after the game, when Mac Jones isn't sure of what to do, James White is basically like a quarterback in the huddle to help relay any little bit or any little reminder that needs to be passed on. So the value of having James White there right now can't be overstated.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. How about that Chase Winovich performing a little wide in the open theft? I like it.
Yeah, so you can't taunt anymore in the NFL. You can't look at anyone after you tackle them. You can't say anything to them or gesture or anything, but you can lay on top of them and then take the football away after. And eventually it'll work as a turnover. This was after a third quarter kickoff. Braxton Berrios got absolutely planted by Chase Winovich. And it was if you blink, you missed it, but I did put it in my column today just because it was a great hit and a nice finish.
Nick Folk in the record books, too. Not exactly the guy you think of when you think of great Patriot kickers of the last quarter century.
you had to be surprised when that came across the screen. Like, really? This is an organization that employed a Hall of Famer from 1996 to 2005. So they had a future Hall of Famer win the three Super Bowls, and they got another guy, probably not a Hall of Famer, but one of the best kickers of all time, in Steven Gostkowski. And neither one of those guys hit 33 straight field goals. So for Nick Folk just to be kind of a random journeyman who joined the team, you remember when Gostkowski got hurt a couple years ago, it was like a parade of kickers coming through, trying out, getting a chance. Folk, I want to say Folk got a chance, then got cut, and then came back again. But that's the person who came in. He was great last year. He probably won them two games, which, you know, probably cost him four spots in the draft. But, you know, that's how it played out. I don't know if we went through and looked at all the yardages of them or the weather conditions. I'm sure they tried some more 60 yards with Gostkowski and stuff like that. But still, impressive. 33 straight kick. I don't know if you ever try to kick a football. It is really hard. So 33 straight. Very impressive.
It's hard to do that. You know, when I was younger, I thought, well, I bet I could punt. I bet I could consistently punt the ball 45, 50 yards if I practiced. And I did that. But, of course, no one was trying to kill me while I was doing it. But place kicking, good Lord. I mean, take a ball out to the local high school field sometime. Put it down. I don't know. Just put it at the 20. Do a little chip shot field goal and see how hard it is to do that.
That's one of my tenets of life, and not enough people do things like that, just to get a reminder of our place in the world and how good these people are at what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no great athlete, but I've had some skills a little bit in the day. Not a chance I could ever do that kind of thing.
Not regularly. You could hit one. You could go 1 for 5 and feel good about yourself, but I think that's the point.
Again, but with no one rushing, because if I saw him coming, I'd be running the other way. I would look like Garo Yepremian in the Super Bowl.
All right, that's fair enough, too. That's another consideration that you're about, you know, if you're a kicker and you're out there at 5'11", 160 pounds, and there are a lot of large men out there, it's a dangerous job.
Yeah, no question about it. What are your early thoughts on the Saints matchup this week?
You know, I have to watch that game. It was one of those things where you're so in the Patriots game, it's hard to really, you just follow the box score. So box score-wise, I know the Saints got absolutely blasted yesterday. I know Jameis Winston was 11 for 22. He was very much the Jameis we expected to see this season. The defense was bad. They made Sam Darnold look like an all-pro. Christian McCaffrey, you know, who was a better version of James White, had, I think it was 135 yards from scrimmage. You know, he had like 60 yards rushing, 75 yards receiving. It's looking a lot better. I'll put it this way. It's looking a lot better for the Patriots than it was 24 hours ago when we thought the Saints were. Oh, sorry, not 24. I get my hours. 28 hours ago. When we thought the Saints looked like maybe a juggernaut after that week one win against Green Bay, they've at least shown they are vulnerable. I don't know where the Patriots stand or what the Patriots are because the Jets are so bad. But at least we know that, you know, it should be a representative close NFL matchup type game. Whereas, you know, going into it, we kind of thought, uh-oh, 1-2 going into the Bucs game is not going to be good. Now I think they at least have a chance to 2-1.
All right, now it's only the Cowboys and the Falcons, but man, I would love it if the twilight of my broadcasting career could resemble the twilight of Tom Brady's career.
Yeah, I mean, that was jarring to put that on after the Patriots game where, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots now. They're a different team. It's a new era. But you flip from what the Patriots were doing on offense to just Tampa Bay basically going full air raid in the middle of an NFL game, Brady to Gronkowski twice, Brady to Evans at the goal line. I mean, it was scary. And I think, you know, for as good as Tom Brady was last year, there was a lot of truth in the fact that no offseason, no preseason made it really. I mean, they for their first 11 weeks, they were figuring each other out. They were figuring out how the coaching worked. They were figuring out how the chemistry worked. And it wasn't great. You know, they were 6-5 or whatever it was, and then didn't lose again. And there is something to the continuity factor of bringing everyone back, of the way that offense has been really motoring now since last October. It's scary. And Tom Brady, I thought maybe, you know, maybe it was time for the fade out. Maybe at 44, which is a ridiculous age to play quarterback, he'd start to have some effects. And maybe he will by December, January. But as of right now, man, he looks like 30-year-old Tom Brady out there. He looks motivated to just keep killing everyone to the best of his ability. So it's fun to watch. It might be painful for some Patriots fans, but I'm certainly enjoying the television show he puts on every week.
Oh, I think it's great. I love watching. I wish him well. Now, with Belichick, obviously he's a football lifer, 47 years in the league, but is there a part of him, big or small, that wants desperately to have a playoff team with Mac Jones, a quarterback? Obviously he wants to be a playoff team every year, but to show that he can do it without Tom Brady.
I don't know how much that motivates him. Like, I think we talk about these guys' legacies a lot as if we can even understand or, like, I don't know that Bill Belichick cares what people like me are saying about him. As much as I would love that, you know, I'd love to have the ear of someone with that, but I don't know how much that motivates him, the Brady factor. I just think he is driven toward winning in everything he does, and that is certainly the goal. I think, to me, the weirdest thing, if you're going to look at the situation, not that they moved on from Brady, because I think there's a lot of logical reasons and sort of, you know, just the safety of not relying on a guy in his 40s to play quarterback in the NFL is totally reasonable. It's just their backup plan was Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer until, you know, July when they signed Cam Newton. That, to me, is as bad of a flub as you could have. The worst thing you can do is ruin your quarterback situation, and they certainly did that. It really set the organization back for a year. And that was a year, you know, 2019, things, if you have another receiver or two, you might be making another run at the Super Bowl because of how good the defense was. They just lacked the firepower. You know, they didn't replace Rob Gronkowski with anyone. They brought Benjamin Watson out of retirement, hoping that would work. All those little moves, they weren't enough. And instead of supplementing that good team, they forced Brady out. So certainly I think there's probably some regrets there if you got him in an honest moment. But I'm not sure that he's driven to win for any more reasons than he normally is.
Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston. Michael, appreciate it as always. I hope your week goes well. Thanks for making time for us today, and we'll catch you again soon.
Always will. Thank you.
Michael Hurley here on Downtown Talking Patriots.